Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. This is entitled, Life is a Journey. Whose direction are you following? So Proverbs 27, verse 1, we read, Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I know somebody who recently got into a house. And 5 months ago, the decision was made that she wanted a house. And she closed a few days ago. And it went exactly the way she had planned it, one step after it. No, not at all. Not at all. And that's the point. The end result was a very happy person in a very happy house. Yay. But getting there sometimes may be a little different. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. We just attach and hang in there. But we have to do a lot of, we just need to do the work. We got to keep moving. You know, I mean, God's working behind the scenes, but we do the believing. We do, when we go and visit who we need to, and we watch God open doors, and we have to just, we can't just sit there and stay in our living room and pray about it, unless God says to do that. A lot of times there needs to be action. So Proverbs 3, if we realize that life sometimes has its ups and downs and rounds and throughs and maybe a tad askew at times, we need to understand that we need to do what Proverbs 3:5 tells us. Because life rarely stays the same, which is why Proverbs 3:5 says we should trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God is on our side. We are his children. So we can trust in him and lean not unto our own understanding. We can make all the plans in the world, but as we start moving with those plans, sometimes we need to stay flexible to the direction God has us going. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Or he shall make your path straight. He'll make your path straight. You acknowledge him. Sometimes when you're working, you're doing things, if we acknowledge him, the path may move a little bit, but it's the right path. You don't have to find yourself going back and picking up because you missed something or didn't do something proper. So, trusting in the Lord is a one-time thing. We only have to, not at all. It's a daily occurrence. But we know that, you know, first off, look at Matthew 6. This is the best illustration of all of it. Because it has the human side of us as we get anxious, and the God side of it going, I know, I really do know, I'm really there, I know, it's okay. You know, Matthew 6, four times, take no thought, is brought up in this section here, which means you're trusting him, and the path will be straight. So, Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That doesn't mean you just don't think of anything. It's taking unnecessary thought. It's being overly concerned about your life. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What's the fashionable clothing that I have? Isn't life more than just food? Now, I know there's the Food Network. But isn't life more than just the Food Network? Isn't life more than, you know, all the clothing shows that are out there and all the fashions and all of that? And then a flock of birds fly over, and he just looks up and says, look, birds, where'd they come from? Oh, they're around all the time. You know, but they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't, you know, there isn't a bunch of bird barns out there. You don't have to wait in line behind a bunch of birds at a bank to get a loan or something like that. But somehow this is a beautiful illustration because they show up again all the time. There's even new birds all the time. There's some new movie out where they're trying to find 400 or 500 different species of birds or something. Steve Martin's in it and Jack Black, and they're getting all these different birds, they're out there. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, but your Heavenly Father has figured out a way in his infinite knowledge and wisdom to feed them. Aren't you better than the birds? Mm-hmm. Unless you're an Alfred Hitchcock movie. All right. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? Every time I walked on the basketball court, I thought this would be a good thing in which to be able to do. Just give me another couple. It doesn't work.
If only I could be tired.
That's right. And so why are you taking extra thought for clothing? Look at those beautiful flowers out in the field, the lilies. They just seem to grow all the time, but, you know, they're not losing their hair. They toil not, neither do they spin. But, you know, Solomon, in his heyday, the greatest glory of all of Israel wasn't even close to being arrayed as beautiful as they are. And if God can clothe the grass of the field that today is and tomorrow you're using it for fuel, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, you know, you don't want to have your name listed and then the attributes. He was of little faith. No, that's not an attribute you want tied onto your name. But it's in general, we are that at times because we're not trusting. We're wanting to fight God and doing it our way rather than God's way. So don't take any unnecessary thought. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What about the clothing? After all these things, the unbelievers, they seek. They spend time and effort on all of these things. That's why there's so many commercials about all of them. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. All right, God knows. Becca needs a house. God knows. Now, how are we going to go about getting it together? And that's what happened. All right. Instead of wasting time and effort, mental capacities, things, nothing wrong with thinking about eating. Eating's a good thing. Nothing wrong with having clothing. It would be really bad not to have clothing. That's not what we're talking about here. But being overly undue concerned about it, instead, set your priorities in verse 33. Priority number one would be then, seek ye first the kingdom of God and seek God's righteousness, and all these other things are going to fall in the line. They'll be added unto you. They'll be there. But the human nature is to go, it's not happening the way I think it should happen. Well, has God ever let you down in the past? Okay, maybe some of, no, none of us. God has never let us down. So don't take any unnecessary thought for tomorrow. We got plenty of things to deal with today, is what this verse is saying. For tomorrow, well, you know, so take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Just what we read back in Proverbs. Go ahead. God likes a good joke. Tell him what you want to do. Tell him how you're going to do it. Telling God, you know, no, that's not how it works. You just keep... Tom, how many states have you lived in over the last many years?
Just screaming into my life. You just don't know how.
You know, but we want to do it our way. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Again, the key to the to our day and time, I mean, some of us have reached the ripe old age of 30. And we have seen a lot in those days, 1 Corinthians 12. And it's amazing just what has changed in this country. I mean, you know, I have all these cassettes, and they're going the way of the 8-track. And back CDs are right behind them. But I have lots of books. Oh, you don't need books anymore. First, we just need electricity. But if you don't have electricity, books are good. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. All of us belong to Christ's body. We're all valuable, unique, peculiar members of the body of Christ. Then, in verse 18, but now God has set them members, every one of them in the body, just off the cuff.
No,
as it has pleased him. And that's the key. God is pleased to have put you in the body and given you a purpose. You know, and we have many purposes all together, but we all have unique reasons for being in the body. But God is the one who does it. So don't do my job, and I'll try not to do your job. You know, God has put us in. And you know what? There's a lot of people that will talk you out of your part of the body. They're doing their best to try and get you to do something else. Just be you. Be the real you. You're much more interesting when you are you than you are trying to be somebody else or something that God didn't make you to be. Go back to Psalm 37. Let's pick this back up again about trusting God. Because the Lord does know the way through the wilderness.
Proverbs?
Psalm 37.
There is no Proverbs here.
Psalm 37:3. We'll be back to Proverbs in a moment. Please stay tuned. We'll go to Psalm 37 in the meantime. And in Psalm 37, we start in verse 3. And we read, trust in the Lord and do good. It's okay if you're trusting in the Lord, then there'll be lots of opportunities to do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. All right, well, that's good, but it's more than just being fed. You know, you shall dwell in the land, and you shall enjoy safe pasture, which is much bigger than just being fed. You'll enjoy safe pasture. But one of the other texts reads, you shall befriend faithfulness, which I thought was really interesting.
Befriend?
You shall befriend faithfulness. Befriend. Yeah, which is really kind of cool, because we're going to talk about how if you're not faithful later on in here, other things will happen to you. So, thou verily shalt enjoy safe pasture. You shall befriend faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the earth and the worldly surroundings. No. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and the Lord shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Like a house. The Lord is involved and wants to help, but delighting and trusting are two very big keys. And so is doing. And then 5 says commit and trust. And all these action verbs are here that we do mentally, and then it goes into our actions. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, it takes a lot to be committed. They're not just going through the motions. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and then he shall bring it to pass. Or he will act on your behalf. He will go to work for you. And it's always better when God's involved in the picture. It ends up much better. So, he shall bring forth your righteousness. And he shall bring forth your righteousness like as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Really, he shall bring forth your righteousness like the dawn, and thy judgment like midday. You know, the justice of your cause, God will make it to shine. It'll shine first thing in the morning, and others will see it. And as the day gets brighter and brighter, when it hits the noonday, your righteousness, your justice, based upon God, will shine forth to other people. So verse 7 then says, then you can rest in the Lord. And rest is an aspect of be still. Take no unnecessary thought. Be still. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And in this culture, that's one of the hardest things to do, because that light better change quickly, and that slow driver in front of me, and I can't believe I got to wait 12 more seconds for my computer to power
up.
And I can't get to the... They used to walk in those days. You know? My daughter Jessica flew from San Diego to Manchester, New Hampshire. She was there in just a matter of hours. Can you imagine how long that would take? In the wagons and other things like that. The Apostle Paul, as they walked and spread the word, rest, be still in the Lord, wait patiently for him. He's not late. We wish he'd be faster, but we can wait patiently for him. In the meantime, we could trust, we could praise him, we could do many other things. So fret not. Don't fret. That's being anxious for things. That's taking a necessary thought. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. He carries out his treacherous schemes. Don't fret for the people who are doing things wrongly. They will pay for it. Ask Bernie Madoff if you can find him in his solitary confinement for the rest of his life, or others. So, again, look at Psalm 25. We're going to look at the Bible a little bit this morning, because we're going to see that doing things God's way, aligning our life with God's way, and trusting in him helps us get through, because the Lord knows the way to the wilderness. You might just end up hopping in a van and taking off and ending up in Colorado or something. You just don't know sometimes. Psalm 25:1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be put to shame. God, I'm trusting in you. Don't let me be put to shame. Let not my enemies, exalt or triumph over me. Yea, let none of them that wait on thee be put to shame. Let them be ashamed of transgress without cause. Those who are treacherous without excuse, let them be put to shame. Let them be ashamed. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. That's a great prayer. Lord, help. Show me. Make me know your ways. Teach me your paths. That's the direction I want to go. Trust in him, and he will make our path straight. So we align with him, and we start moving. Lead me in thy truth. Guide me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Or hope. I hope on thee. I wait on thee every day. Because maybe today, the real hope's going to happen. Christ is coming back. We don't know. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth. Well, we could probably get a couple amens on that one. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, or my rebellions, or my rebellious way. Excuse me, God. Remember those days? Don't remember those days. Do me a favor, God. Forget about those. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my rebellions. According to thy mercy, or according to thy love, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The humble, the meek, will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So we have to be humble to accept doing it his way rather than doing it our way. I got the answer. I know it. No, God does. It's easier. It's better. All the paths of the Lord, then, all the paths of the Lord. But I say all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, or they're loving and faithful. All the paths are mercy and truth, loving and faithful unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. We lock in with God. Go to Proverbs 19. Show me your way, God, so I can do it. Which direction do we need to go? You're kidding, over there? Okay. Life certainly won't be boring with God.
19.
Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. There are many plans in a man's heart. You know, I knew somebody, it seemed like every week he was doing, wanted to do something different. You know, there's many plans in a man's heart. None of them are really good. But anyway, there are many devices, many plans in a man's heart. However, nevertheless, or whatever adjective you want to put in there, or really, maybe it should be a strong article or, well, anyway. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. It is the Lord's purpose that prevails, is how one translation goes. Many plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose is going to prevail. Or if the Lord's purpose is the one that will stand. So, why don't we lock in with the Lord? Look at 16. Proverbs 16:19. That's not it. 16:9. 16:9. Again, a man's heart devises or plans his way, right? We want a house. Okay, that's good. That's the plan. But the Lord directs or determines or establishes his steps. If you're smart, you don't try and go alone. You lock in with the Lord and allow him to make your pathway straight. He directs. He determines. He establishes. It doesn't mean we're, you know, zeros for Jesus. That's not what it means at all. We have desires. We have direction. And we work in conjunction with him. Remember Corinthians? We're fellow laborers with him. We work together. Jeremiah 10. We just need to acknowledge, and life will go a lot better when we acknowledge that God knows more than we do. Jeremiah 10. 23. Oh, Lord. That's a prayer we have a lot of times. Oh, Lord. I know that the way of man is not in himself. The NIV translates this, I don't think it's right. A man's life is not his own, which is true. But let me give you three other translations. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. All right, Taylor, not the Taylor from Denver, says, O Lord, I know it is not within the power of man to map his life and plan his course. It's not in our power. Things change. Life happens differently. We make great expectations, and as you move, sometimes it just, you know, we map our life, we plan our course, but it, you know, that's not always the way things work out. The Jerusalem Bible says, the course of man is not in his control, nor is it in man's power as he goes his way to guide his step. It just means you can't figure it all out. It means you plan, you think, you want stuff, but you align with God and start moving, and you're flexible enough as God opens and closes doors. Spurgeon, which I knew you are, you'd go to his translation here, says, I know that it is not with man to direct his way, neither with man to anticipate and to order his goings. You know, life is just different. Back in, you know, look at verse 24. O Lord, correct me, but do with justice, with judgment. Not in thy anger. Don't correct me with your anger, God, lest thou bring me to nothing. I love that. That's, you know, mercy. You would prefer your mother to correct you with instruction, not with her wrath, right? Okay. Oh, Lord, correct me, but with justice or judgment, but not in anger, lest, you know, you blow me up. You know, you know, you bring me to nothing. You know. Look at chapter 9, Jeremiah 9, 9:23. Yeah, right. Write that verse down. Right, 9:23 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man boast about, look at all my wealth. But let him that boasteth, or let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Number one on the list of your accomplishments. All the things you did, know that you understand and know the Lord. You can understand something about the Word of God. Because that's where he's made known. That I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. All right, not the judge. He's the righteous one who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. There's our delight again. Wow. Look at Isaiah 55. We're close enough. We'll pick this up. Just in case you'd forgotten how limited you are. Isaiah 55, we'll pick up in verse 6. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. One translation has it, my plans are not your plans. That pretty much lays it out. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are plans than your thoughts are plans. So let me ask a question. Why do you want to do it yourself? Let's tap into God's plan, God's way, taking no unnecessary thought because, God, you're supposed to do it my way. You know, that's how a lot of people's prayer life is. They direct God as what God's supposed to do for them, rather than acknowledging and expecting, you know, knowing God and understanding God and working with God. No, God, do it this way. No, it doesn't work that way. All right, verse 10. For as rain comes down and snow from heaven and returns not thither, but it waters the earth, it makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but God's word shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. One translation has it, it will achieve the end for which I sent it. It will achieve the end. For you shall go out with joy. You shall be led forth with peace. Are those a couple things you want to have on too? You know, joy, peace, good things? Yeah. Very good. Yeah, we'll take those. And even when you go out, the mountains and the hills are going to break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Yeah, here comes Lindell, and all the trees are, yay! The mountains are applauding. It's God's children, yay! They're not doing it on themselves. They're doing it God's way. Isaiah 40. There's another promise that deals with this. Isaiah 40, 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Coming attractions. Mm. That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not, neither does he get tired. There's no searching of his understanding. In other words, you can't fathom his understanding. You just can't comprehend what he comprehends. He gives power to the faint. He gives strength to the weary. Do we need that? Mm-hmm. It beats five-hour energy drink. He gives strength to the weary. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. He gives power to the weak. That's all of us. Even the youths, even the young people. Excuse me, you in the black dress. Sometimes do you faint and get weary? Yes. Thank you. And the young men, they shall utterly fail. They shall stumble and fall. Even though, Ryan, you got lots of strength, right? You show us your muscles all the time. Yep. But even you grow tired sometimes, and your mother goes, yay, go to bed. Right. Even the youth, the young people, and all their energy, they're going to faint. They're going to get weary. They're eventually going to stumble and fall on their own. But verse 31 tells us how to avoid it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, or they shall soar with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Not bedtime, they probably will collapse, but as they need to go through and do what it is, keep moving, keep moving. There's times, I'm sure, back over the last 5 months, you felt that way. But you didn't faint. You kept you kept moving. All right. Psalm 73. I don't think there's Proverbs there. All right, Psalm 73. All right, and we read in Psalm 73, verse 22, our attitude. Here's our attitude then towards all of this. Psalm 73:22. So foolish was I. What a fool am I. Or so senseless was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me in my right hand. You know, thou holds my right hand. We need that. We need, you know, somebody to hold our hand through life. All right. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards you will receive me into glory. When Christ comes back, or when Christ comes back for us, guide me today and receive me into your glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing upon earth that I desire besides thee. A lot of people are out there desiring fame, fortune, wealth, and good shoes. But there's nothing upon earth that I desire beside thee. That's the most important thing. Seek thee first the kingdom of God. My flesh and my heart fails. They may fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that are unfaithful. They go whoring from thee that are unfaithful. Remember, God is faithful. Those who are unfaithful are going to be destroyed. But it is good for me to draw near to God. It's a good thing. You want the secret to life? Draw near to God. Or to be with God. I have put my trust. I have put my refuge in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works or all your deeds. And we close in Matthew 7. Matthew 7:13. In conclusion, Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, or the narrow gate. There's a little narrow gate over there. You go enter. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. So there's a huge gate over here for the world, and they just keep coming in. It's wide, it's broad, and the end result is destruction. And many go that way. Verse 14. Because straight or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. There's a big world out there, and they're all, many too many are going through the big gate in destruction. But over here, if you take time to look, is God's way, is God's gate. Only few find it, but you've been one of the called, one of the ones who has the opportunity to go through that gate, to find your way by finding it through Christ. And I want to close by reading a poem that says, "The Ways. To every man there openeth a way, and ways, and a way. And the high soul gropes the highway, and the low soul gropes the low. And in between, and the misty flats, the rest drift to and flow." Just right into that gate. They're just drifting through that big gate. You can just see it. "The rest drift to and flow, but to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decides the way his soul shall go." So, Father, thank you for your love, for your direction and guidance, that we can trust you, and you will not let us down. We're grateful that you've given us a direction through your word and how to live life for you, and not to be overly concerned about the things of the world, but to be able to walk for you in this day and time and hour, being blessed, being at peace, and taking no necessary thought, that knowing that you will lead us and guide us in the right way. We're grateful in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.